This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Many of us would be familiar with the popular Malay legend of Puteri Gunung Ledang. Penang-based artist Foo Mei Lin is presenting her own interpretation of the story with an exhibition called 10,000 Mosquito Hearts. The show is on at R Art Projects at the Chung San Building until the 17th of February. Mei Lin is here with me today, along with R Art Projects' project manager, Ellen Lee. How are you both doing?
Yeah,
very well, thank you, Sharmila.
So, 10,000 Mosquito Hearts. It's a very striking title. Could you explain the origins for those of us who may not get that reference?
Well, it's always been a fascination for me, this fable, this myth, this legend. And the exact point of fascination would be, as a child, I could not grasp the image of a mosquito heart, let alone seven trays of mosquito hearts. Mm-hmm. So when I was working on a project about 4 years ago, as I was sewing very small, minuscule stitches by the zillions, it occurred to me that the legend came back to me. I've always been obsessed with this, 10,000. I made up 10,000 mosquito hearts, seven dulangs of mosquito hearts.
Yeah, so the reference actually comes from, it's one of the requirements that the Puteri puts on the Sultan of Malacca, right?
That's right.
Among other things.
That's right.
Seven trays of mosquito hearts.
Seven trays of mosquito hearts, right. And the list goes on and on. They're impossible. Mm. They're just ludicrous requests.
So how did that go from being drawn back to that image translate into then wanting to create works around that theme?
As I was saying just now, when I did an exhibition in conjunction with the Georgetown Lit Fest, I think it was 2014, I did a lot of text and stitching on garments, and that was called dress text. And in doing that, as I was transferring the stitches, and it felt like delivering mosquito hearts, about 2 years later, it occurred to me I could move from one medium to the next, which was from fabrics to paper, and deliver, to make the intangible tangible was what I wanted. To want to see what it would look like to deliver 10,000 mosquito hearts. And more than that, how does it feel to even attempt delivering 10,000 mosquito hearts?
Mm. And that's actually what interested me about this exhibition, right? That it's actually from the perspective of the common folk, am I right?
Correct.
How does that translate as an exhibition?
For me, it comes back to Sharon's essay on carrying and spilling, which is up on our website.
Sharon Chin, right?
Yeah, Sharon Chin, the curator. Yeah. So she talks about, she calls the Sultan Mahmud's desire for Puteri Gunung Ledang a kind of ruinous desire. And she compares it to the construction happening in Penang right now, with a lot of over-construction, not really caring about natural resources and stuff. And she compares that, that need for, to consume and to construct and to build, and she compares it to a more human way of sharing rather than, needing to conquer or, to consume.
Yeah.
It's about, caring and spilling. That's what she says.
Yeah. And I think the main link between what Ellen's just shared with us is that in delivering the 10,000 mosquito hearts, and because I'm theatre-based, I played all the characters. So it would have begun, it did begin with the princess, if she did request for such a ridiculous, if she did make a list of ridiculous requests, and if the Sultan actually attempted to deliver the request, would he himself have found the mosquito hearts and built the bridges and chopped off the trees? And so I think I paralleled that with the common people, because then he would have had his kampung people, the people in the kingdom, the slaves in those days, the virgins were all whipped so they would cry into seven caskets and create tears of virgins, which is part of the list.
Mm.
So that's the point where I arrived at, where it's ruinous, it's destructive to even attempt to do such things. And that paralleled with politics today.
I know that the in the legend, so some of the, other than the mosquito hearts, some of the demands that she makes are 7 trays of midges hearts, a vat of juice from young Betel nuts. A vat of tears of virgin maidens, a cup of
seven,
the sultans.
Seven vats, seven everything.
Seven. Oh, that's right. A seven vat of tears.
Unless I made it up.
A cup of the sultan's blood and a cup of his son's blood.
Exactly.
Now, I know that the title of the exhibition is 10,000 Mosquito Hearts.
Yeah.
The works that you're showing, are they all structured around the mosquito heart specifically, or are you also examining some of these other prizes, for instance?
Good question. So what I did was I was fixated with only mosquito hearts. I did think to attempt delivering the other things, but they through the process, they started to feel similar, because in the end, it wasn't about the different things that she had requested for. So some of them are in there symbolically, like gold and silver and blood. Those are the ones I picked up on. Once in a while, if you really scrutinize the pieces, you might see one betel nut, maybe, maybe not. Mm. So yeah, I did address some of it. But the mosquito hearts became the actual symbolic, you know, image.
And it's kind of symbolic of labor, isn't it? The labor that goes into not just your own labor, but metaphorically, the labor that would be required to produce these things.
Yes, it's totally about that. I think that's about it. Ellen, no, I think, what do you think?
Yeah, I think like it really relates back to like, you know, like the whole thing of like labor and like construction. And it's like, instead of like, you know, like ruining a place, instead of like building this bridge that like no one really needs.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You can make art instead, you know, you can deliver it through art, which I think is like, you know, that's what's like so amazing about it. And like, you made the vessels as well. Remember the vessels?
Yes, I remember the vessels.
They're like some stitched vessels, like, because like most of them are works on paper, but like, they're like some stitched vessels, like little, like,
yeah, so they're 3D like, sculptures, and they're some
to
garments.
Carry the juices,
yeah. The vessels are meant to deliver the demands,
yeah.
So, yes, I read in the show description that the show is going to feature about 140 drawings as well as textiles, soft sculptures. So, what will we be seeing? What kinds of works, you know, what will the audience experience be?
Ellen first.
Yeah, yeah. So like, actually it was like really crazy. It's like a lot of works on paper. So it's just like paper all over the wall, paper even on the floor. But there are also like textiles, like Sharon Chin, the curator, she lent us one of her dresses, and then we put in some of the textiles that Maylin made when she was in Paris.
The dress is mine, actually.
Yeah.
So old garments are mine. Yes.
Yeah.
I made them here in Penang for dress
text.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Well, in two words, I'd rather not give the game away. And I would say,
it's really,
I mean,
crazy,
this is
though,
in my own head. Two words. One is fairground attraction. And the other one is due to the wonderful curation of Sharon Chin.
She really did the whole layout.
She
it's
got it
crazy.
And she understood what I wanted. We, you know, we talked a lot, obviously. And she's managed to weave together... A kind of cohesive map of not only the mosquito hearts, but tied in with labor, which you will be hit by when you enter. You'll go, this is tedious, man. It's tedium, not tedious. It's tedium. And she's woven together different materials of all my works, a lot of my works, I mean, to map out what you will be hit by. Fairground attraction. Theatre.
Of course.
Theatre.
It's coming together of all your different artistic streaks.
And mediums, yeah.
Yeah.
And because I'm from a theatre background, one of the things I did, you know, I really want people to know about the works is it was all born from theatre, all of it.
How did the idea to get Sharon to curate the show come about?
When I first came back to Malaysia, I started a Facebook page. That's how behind I am. And then I chanced upon Sharon Chin's work, fell in love with them, and became a little fangirl. And then Sharon came with Zadek, her partner, and, you know, to Penang, and we met, we were introduced, and I was And a few years ago, there was a flood in Penang and my works got flooded. Mm. And Sharon Chin was one of the few people who either texted me or called me and said, don't throw, don't throw. I want to do a show for you or with you. I cannot remember. Or I want to, you know, do something with you. So I didn't throw those works. But I had imagined working actually in collaboration artistically with Sharon, meaning she do artworks. But things turned out this way. When I was, there was this opportunity with our arts projects. I asked the gallery for a curator and I asked for Sharon Chin. And Sharon Chin said yes. And I went, Yahoo.
And what do you think Sharon has brought to the works and to the way that it's being shown?
Yeah, I'll take the opportunity to shout out Sharon. Sharon is like, she's like amazing because like, as a curator, like she not only like, you know, like put a whole structure to everything that was being shown. I mean, like 140 works, right? It's like you need to make some sense of it. She did that. Like, you know, she wrote the essay, but she also did the entire layout for the show, which is really one of the craziest layouts we've ever had.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Definitely.
And, like, I think it's really like some like a kind of like lost art of like exhibition making, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to think as well. What are you giving to the people, the
viewers?
What
is a curator?
Well?
And yeah. I hope that when people see the exhibition, they will see the work of the curator as well.
You know, you have to, because the Zhongshan building is kind of like out of the way. So it's like, how do you make something within this like very tiny space that justifies people going there, to, like that justifies people actually engaging with art? And I think like she has a lot of respect for the audience as well, which is why she tries to make the exhibition, like, not just, you know, like, just, like, looking and stuff, but really, like, wow, like, this is really cool. Like, it's just, yeah, it's like an art form in itself.
And what are the techniques that we will be seeing in this exhibition? Because you work with different mediums.
Mainly textiles, paper, so it'd be drawing, markings, writing, stitching, anything else, and hooking. Because I hooked the vessels. Mm-hmm. Those were the techniques.
So from the idea, the concept of the 10,000 mosquito hearts, how is that process of deciding how to realize them, how to make them into something tangible?
I never know until I'm right there. And I have everything all around me and I reach out. It's a bit instinctive. It starts off with one medium and then there's something. I'm not trained. And my mind, I think because of theatre, I apply that style as if I was getting into character. So it's instinctive. It's almost like constantly searching, you know, for the characters. Mm. So the characters could come out in text as a script or as figuratively I play those characters you see. Yeah.
I must say that having seen some of the works so far, that despite the fact that the story behind it is sort of tragic or difficult and slightly bloodthirsty even, some of the works they're beautiful. Actually, all of the works are beautiful. And they're very, there's something very fine and they really draw the eye. Is there a certain emotion or feeling that you associate with these works or that you feel when you're working on them?
I feel continuously because it's all emotive. Mm-hmm. Because again, theatre-based.
Yeah.
So if it was the princess I was playing, which wasn't for long, it was like the shortest character I had in my head, then there were ethereal marks because I was not imagining her, but I was imagining the lands from which, you know, from where she lives, where she inhabits. And then when they get really rowdy and really destructive, that's towards the end of the story where there's so much destruction in trying to deliver. So, yeah, it's all the different emotions. So I played the virgins and then I would cry. I get really frustrated. I played the parents of the virgins who got really angry. And that was very close to May the 9th it was the year before May 9th running up to. And that was hot for us Malaysians, waking up every morning, looking, checking the news and getting frustrated, angry, helpless, you know, just unbelievable, stunningly horrific news every day. And that crept into the work because it just paralleled with the story I was trying to do, politics. How do you squeeze blood out of stone? What more do you want from us? How much more can you take and rape and pillage and destroy?
Yeah. And do you think that actually some of the answers or some of the ways in which we can contend with daily life or modern life could lie in these legends or stories that we often don't think of as having modern relevance?
Always. Never not. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, and also depending on which legends and myths which apply here, don't you think?
Oh, no,
what do you think of legends and
I myths? Love stories, and okay. I'm constantly discovering new things at each stage in life when I read, reread one of these old stories, whether it's Indian or Malaysian or Nordic. I constantly reinterpret what I thought I knew.
Because they're classics. I mean, Ramayana, it's just like forever. We can now parallel Ramayana at some point to where the three of us are sitting in this space. They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mei Lin actually, like, had this theory about, like, the actual story, you know, like, what happened in the actual story. Like, your theory was that she actually said no, but then, like, his like, cronies, like, Sultan Mahmud's cronies were like, oh, we can't, like, go back to him.
They could have lied, they could have made it up.
Mm-hmm. Or
maybe she said yes, but they didn't want the union, you know, like, exactly what happens all the time around us in politics. So that, you know, the message was a construct.
Yeah. Isn't there also a theory that the reason she has these demands is she thinks that he wouldn't possibly be able to fulfill them?
That was the easiest first theory. So when I had the idea, I asked a couple of friends, good friends, about it. And the first thing they said was, well, she just didn't want to marry him. La, Mei Lin, enough, la. But I couldn't let that go.
And what does it feel like to see all of your works now exhibited in this one space? Does it change the dynamic of each individual work? Is there a different or a feel now that they're all being exhibited in one, you know, in the space?
It is a very different feel because I work in a very congested, dark, pokey little space in Penang. And then the things are rolled up and piled up and I can't see anything. Half the time I can't see my own work. And now I see it all in this white, pristine, white, clean, lit box. And it all looks like, wow, like that now. So it's a very different sensation. And again, I bring in the curation. The curation has given it more sense than it would have looked in a pile in a pokey little room, obviously. What do you think, Ellen? Well, you never saw the pile in the pokey room.
I did.
Yeah, in a way you did.
But like,
oh, yeah, you did. You did. When they arrived.
Wow, it was crazy. But I mean, like, we, in a way, it's like, even though we took it out of her flooded house, we still sort of, I mean, the flood is still kind of like quite crucial to the show.
You will see it when you come.
Yeah, you'll see it. Like,
don't give it away.
It is the works. Not all.
Some.
But some of them were the works that were in the flood.
And it's very clearly, I mean, you'll know. Mm. You'll be told exactly.
Sharon incorporated that into her layout.
And what do you
Destruction.
Hope?
Destruction.
What do you hope that people who visit the exhibition will take away from it?
Like, I just think, like, if people actually come to an art show, that's good enough. Because I think, like, people aren't really engaged with art here. And, like, I guess, you know, fair enough, like, sometimes it can be, like, super commercial and it doesn't really give an incentive for people to be engaged anyway. But I think that I would hope that, like, people can come to this and, like, see a real story and, like, a real person behind the artwork and the exhibition layout. Yeah.
What about you, Mei Lin?
That's a very difficult one for the person who made the work, because I don't usually hope. I think, you know, hope is in the action. So I think that I hope it provokes, as always, like in theatre, that you go back and maybe you look up myths and legends, or maybe you think about the politics all around us, or maybe you'll think about what is it to be highly industrious, What else could I think of? What would I want the audience to take back with them? I want something to keep resonating over time in them after they've seen the works. And maybe if they could give me their feedback, then I can learn something back from them, I hope.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to artist Fu Meilin and our art project's project manager, Ellen Lee. Meilin is showing an exhibition called 10,000 Mosquito Hearts at our art projects at the Chung San Building until the 17th of February. For more information, visit ourartprojects.com. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.